This is Will's Band of the Week for January 19th, 2014. Hello and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett live in studio.
Hello.
And Chris from an undisclosed remote location.
Here I am.
Hey, sounding pretty good.
Yeah, we're being serenaded as well.
Yeah, we got a little Grant music going on. We thought we'd let him keep playing because, it'll give us a little a mood setting kind of thing.
And last time, I don't remember it really being picked up by the microphones. Was it?
I listened to it. I wasn't there for that one, and I don't remember it, no. Yeah. I don't remember hearing it.
All right. We'll see. We'll try it again.
Yeah. He had the drums going a little while earlier, right before Barrett came over. He had this loop going, and he was playing drums to it. It was the one-man band, so we'll see what he does. All right, so hey, all three of us are here. That's good, right?
Yeah, nice. It's like the old days.
Yep.
The old days of December of 2013.
Right.
Yep. Well, at our age, we like to reminisce about the old days, right? So that's most
Remember
of the conversation.
Back 5 weeks ago when we were all here together like this?
Yeah.
At our age, you never know when this could all end.
That's right.
Like any moment
could
be over.
Really? Hold on. We gotta start thinking about some contingency plans.
Yeah.
Should one of us die.
What, you mean we each need to pick somebody to replace us, like a vice podcaster?
You could do that.
Possibly.
You might want to have it in your will, like who gets your interest in the podcast.
Right.
One of us will be forced to have like one of our wives on the podcast.
That's true.
God. Yes.
You know, I think if I died, it would just be like, and people would be sad. I don't know that the podcast would be affected. Chris, I'm sorry, but maybe it would be affected a little bit more if you were gone, but not seriously affected. The only one really that I think if Will died, maybe you might, I don't know what would happen then. We'd have to rename the thing.
Yeah.
Is it like the morose music playing in the background that got you thinking about this?
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just feeling my mortality today. So, but what if both Chris and I died? Then what?
Then, well,
you'd keep.
Because I have a suicide pact all drafted up here.
Wow.
I haven't showed it to you, but
is that like a binding thing? Like I have to sign that?
Yes.
Because I would need some time to think about that sort of.
Well, you couldn't really sign it after we did it.
That's true.
Be a little too late, yeah.
Yeah, before we did it seems to be the optimal time to get you to sign it.
Who? Okay. What are the rules with suicide pacts? Like, okay, yeah, I'll do it, and you sign the thing. You go first.
Yeah.
But really, like, I mean, so you're breaking that pact. But what in the hell is the difference?
I think like it's if you and I are both going to kill. Do it though.
Yeah.
That's, and, I'm fond of you, but love is a strong word.
That's true.
Kind of like in Ethan Frome. Have you ever read that?
No.
Where they, like, the two people are in love, but he's married, so they get on a sled, and they go as fast as they can to try to crash into a tree and kill themselves, but they both end up maiming each other, and so they have to live, like, him, her, and his wife together, like, crippled for the rest of their lives.
Awkward.
Wow, so, yeah, that's a
bummer. Oh, by the way, spoiler alert. Even though the book is over 100 years old.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. It makes it pretty awkward.
Well, are we going to thank Grant for putting us in this mood that we're going to talk about death? Maybe that's the theme then. We'll just talk about death for an hour.
Did anybody die this week?
I don't know. I don't think there's a major death of the week.
No.
But there was a sort of a rebirth. The rebirth of the forum in Inglewood, California.
Yeah.
Did you guys read about this?
Yep, you sent us the link.
So the forum was where the Los Angeles Lakers played basketball, right, for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
They'd always show Jack Nicholson on the sidelines. And how long ago did they move out of there? You guys are sports nerds. You must know that.
I don't know. The Staples Center is probably 10 years old.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, so now it's been turned into a giant arena rock music venue. They remodeled the whole thing, and the Eagles are the first band playing there. So what they did is they put this giant Hotel California record on the roof so that you could see it if you fly over it.
Mm-hmm.
It's 407 feet in diameter, and apparently it spins.
And
not at 33 and a third, though.
Yeah.
That would be a little too quick.
Didn't it say it's made of vinyl, too? It's not just like, you know.
It looked like they had sort of a model of the grooves,
mm-hmm.
you know? It looked pretty cool from above. So at first I thought this was the permanent roof, but it's not. It's a promotional thing they're going to have for like a month and a half. So that seems like a lot of money to put into a promotion, doesn't it?
Well, it seems like they should just swap out the label part every time, you know?
Yeah, for each artist who comes. Yeah.
That might be expensive.
When we do our podcast in there, they'll put the Will's Band of the Week logo on the center of that record.
Wow. That's a lot of eyeballs on that thing.
Yeah.
Huh.
That one that has my name really big and you guys' names really tiny.
Yeah,
remember that our listener's son made? Yeah.
Well, in that case, you know, the relative size would be kind of disappointing for us, but the lettering in our names would literally be taller than we are.
Yeah, it would still
be. So that's pretty big.
10 or 20 feet or something. Yeah.
Even though yours would be, you know, 50 feet high.
Right. Yeah. So, so it looked sort of interesting. I looked at the calendar, and of course, the Eagles are the first band playing there. And then Justin Timberlake is playing. And
sure.
But then they get into things I've never heard of. Well, I have heard of Paul Simon and Sting. They're playing. And how about Alejandra Guzman? You guys know who that is?
Nope.
See, big enough to play the Forum, and we've never heard of him. How about this one? Toby Mac with special guests Brandon Heath, Mandisa, Matthew West, and Matt Maher.
Nope.
I've never heard of a single one of those. We are totally out of touch. We're not part of the California scene. And somebody named Chelsea Handler, and then
comedian.
Okay, so you've heard of her, huh?
Yeah, she's got a talk show.
Yep.
And Chelsea then, Lately.
And then somebody named Armin Van Buren. And it
hopefully
says,
related to Martin Van Buren.
I don't know. It says Armin only intense. That's what the
Martin
graphic
Van
says.
Buren. Martin Van Buren's my favorite president. I've actually worked out a really good Martin Van Buren imitation. Want to hear it?
Yeah, let's hear it. Yeah.
Hello, I'm Martin Van Buren.
Oh, that's dead on.
Yeah,
that's
know.
Perfect. Probably just
a lot
how
of people
he was...
don't remember what he sounds like, but
were you doing like fake sideburns while you were doing that too? Because then it would just be spooky how close that is.
Yeah.
You guys got any music news?
Well, I was going to talk about the Forum thing. It's kind of cool the way like music is, especially the kind of music that we listen to. It's like in big cities, there are usually these huge venues that kind of get cast aside. And it's the music that we listen to and stuff that usually kind of filters in, mm-hmm. kind of takes these places over, like in Milwaukee, like the Eagles Club.
Yeah.
Where you have this huge place where, like, my grandmother used to go to, like, for ballroom dancing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just kind of let it just fall into disrepair for 20 years or whatever. And then, you know, kind of the hipsters and the music people take it over. And now it's a big, huge venue again. So I think it's cool how, you know, cities regenerate just, you know, when a big venue like that kind of goes by the wayside and people mm-hmm. find a new use for it. I think that's pretty cool.
Or even right here in Madison, you've got the Majestic. It's a music venue now. And the old Capitol Theater used to be a theater, and then that turned into like the Oscar Mayer or whatever, and now it's the, you know.
It's the new Capitol Theater now.
The new Capitol Theater. And then the Orpheum too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they all become music venues.
And then
cities keep going.
Fourth Bedroom Studios used to be... This is where Will did his scrapbooking and all that kind of stuff, and now it's a podcasting center.
Well, I thought it used to be a Native American burial ground that he built a studio on.
there's an untold history of Fourth Bedroom Studios, so I'll put that in a time capsule or something, so that, you know, a long time in the future people will learn the real history, the untold history of Fourth Bedroom Studios.
Mm.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of this until I just read this book about the history of Milwaukee, but the Eagles Ballroom actually used to have a whites-only policy.
Wow.
So, which makes it kind of awkward now. Did you guys hear about a few weeks ago when Ani DeFranco, she was going to have some like retreat for her fans, and it was at some plantation in the South?
I did hear about that.
And people just went crazy about it. And she sort of defended herself and sort of didn't. But it's weird. I mean, a lot of those old venues may have had, for all the people that were upset about Ani DeFranco doing that, should probably have a problem with their bands playing Eagles Ballroom, but they don't because they just don't know.
But wasn't it the whole country anyway? I mean, the whole country was racist, so does it really matter that one particular venue is singled out?
Right. It's hard to pick and choose what places were perhaps racist.
Yeah.
And as bad as Jim Crow type laws were, kind of pales in comparison to full on slavery.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I suppose there's a difference in there, but yeah, I mean, if you're going to be pure about the whole thing, it's awful tough to do.
Yep. Yep. Well here's an untapped music venue, the Pontiac Silverdome.
You could turn
that thing into a huge abandoned football stadium near Detroit.
It's a mega church now.
Is it really?
I think so.
Oh my God.
Really?
Yeah. Somebody bought it for seriously $200,000.
Yeah.
But the monthly, property taxes are more than that. It's actually really quite expensive.
I think the heat bill in the winter would be $200,000.
Yeah.
That is a giant building.
But I've got a little bit of music news. It's kind of a little bit on the older side, but I just heard about it. Have you guys seen that documentary Blackfish about the killer whales at SeaWorld and stuff?
I don't think
so. I've heard of it.
Yeah.
But I've not seen it.
Well, it's this, I think it originally appeared on, it was a CNN movie, and then, now it's on Netflix and stuff, and it's generating quite a bit of controversy. You have all these old trainers and stuff that are saying that the whales are mistreated, and they break up the calves from the mothers, and it just made everybody feel really terrible. And they had this one whale that it kind of, fathered lots of the whales that they have in captivity now, but he was kind of going a little bit crazy. He was always a little bit, on the edge of behaving well and misbehaving.
He's like an NBA player.
Yeah, exactly. And about, I don't know when it was. I want to say 5 years ago, but I might be wrong. He took one of the trainers and grabbed her by, the leg, and was just swimming around with her and down at the bottom. And, they don't know if it was an aggressive thing or if he was just playing or whatever, but she died. And that kind of got this documentary going. Anyway, there's been a big reaction to it, and SeaWorld has had some cancellations from bands that were going to play there, right? Like the Beach Boys were going to play there, and they canceled. And
whoa.
I can't remember who else. Mostly B and C listers, though.
Yeah.
And I was kind of looking into it and see if there's anything, any other bands that maybe we had heard of that canceled concerts there. And guess who? The answer is not the guess who. But guess who backed out of a concert based on, kind of an uproar from their fans?
It's got to be 38 Special.
It's 38 Special. In December, they canceled a concert. So
these are sensitive guys with beards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Playing Southern pop rock. Yeah.
Jacksonville, Florida is kind of the, that's kind of the Madison of the South.
All right. Way to go, 38 Special guys. So, okay, I've got one more thing. I just read this article. I have to credit the Consequence of Sound site. They ran this little story about how speed metal is getting too fast for the drummers. And I always thought that fast heavy metal, that's one of the most fascinating things to me, is the drumming and how they could possibly play the things they play. They just seem ridiculously fast. And, of course, they use the double bass drums, but they're just... The speed of it is just crazy, and I've always
wondered. Point, weren't some bands going to double drummers? Like I remember going to see Ministry once, and they had two drummers and they kind of played just a little bit off, just to give it that real machine gun effect.
Yeah, that didn't Ministry use a some electronics too, though?
Yeah, they did some of that too.
But yeah, maybe that's it. But what this story said was that these guys can play live pretty well, but sometimes when they come into the studio, it's so fast, and the precision of the recording, they just can't do it. They can't play it accurately enough for the recording. So now they have to use these recording techniques to sort of correct or substitute for particularly the bass drum. So I have a little excerpt. Let's see if this works.
sounds. What you can also do is you can get a sample of a bass drum, the sound of a bass drum, and then you can create a bass drum performance. So what a drummer can do, and in this example that you mentioned where a drummer didn't hit any of his bass drums, he came in the studio and, you know, the band had travelled a long way. They'd travelled over from France, actually. They'd not done their pre-production properly, and we were in this situation where the drummer could not play the performance parts that he'd written for the album. So what happened is I had to sit down and speak to the band and say, you've got a choice. You either go home for 6 months and either get a new drummer or get your drummer up to scratch, or what you do is the drummer plays his performances with his hands. So he plays his snare, his toms, the hats, the ride, the crash cymbals, but doesn't play with his bass drums, or I don't record the bass drums. Then what I did is, once I've got his hand performance, played to what's called a click track, a metronome, then I built the bass drum performance with drum samples. The idea is to make the listener think that it was the drummer that had performed. A bad job by a producer is just where somebody would listen to it and go, that sounds programmed, that sounds like a drum machine. You give slight variation to the dynamics, slight variation to the timing, so that although it's incredibly accurate, it's slightly more human feel. And so when the listener listens to it, it sounds like a drum playing. And this is happening a lot.
So that's a guy from Minotaur Productions, as interviewed by Consequence of Sound.
All right.
Do you have
are
an example
a
of the
of,
music?
Of fast drumming?
I don't know if they have it. They don't have it on this interview. So, yeah, I should have found the band that they were talking about.
Yeah, I want to hear some fast drumming.
Yeah, you kind of set us up for that.
Okay, then hold on a second here. Hold on, I'm going to find it. Okay, I think I found some speed metal. Here, let's try this. That's too slow. Come on.
That's like Cookie Monster metal.
No, this is good. It's not fast enough. I was trying to find something fast.
Cookie.
But the title is great. This band is called Devourment, and this is the title track to the album Conceived in Sewage.
Nice.
All right, so here, let's try another one. That's not fast enough. All right, I'm not finding a good example. I'm gonna.
It's not.
Hey, there's a song.
Fast.
There's a song called, by Napalm Death called "You Suffer" that I just googled, and it's the fastest heavy metal song ever.
Okay, let's try it. It's only 6 seconds long. That's it.
That is fast.
This is a 6 second track. And then
and it's really more like 1 second.
Yeah.
Go to.
That's Suffer the Children by Napalm Death. Chris, you got one?
Go to Chromatic Death by Anthrax. One of my favorite fast songs, super fast songs.
Well, it's got fast guitars, but the bass drum's not going nuts. So, well, the listeners
at the beginning,
home,
it was.
You'll have to find at home some fast bass drums, but you know that stuff's out there.
That song was also known as the theme to MTV's Headbangers Ball.
Oh, is it really? That's a good. Yes. That's a very good trivia item.
Yeah. So there you go.
I think I found it. That's the band Pig Destroyer.
That's a pretty fast bass drum.
Yeah, that one's fast. I finally found it. So, okay, there you go. Now, that raises the question, do you think that guy was playing that thing in the recording live, or do you think that was machine-assisted?
The only way to do it would be, there's the dog, get the dog, go. He doesn't want to go.
Or do you think he actually destroyed any pigs in the making of that album? We could have like a whole Blackfish situation going on.
Yeah, you know, if I was going to try to do that, I would just take the drum, the bass drum, and put it, you know, set it up horizontally and then try to do a drum roll on it.
Right, right.
That'd be the only way to do it.
Yeah, but then your hands aren't free to play the other stuff. So, yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, I could do it.
All right.
If you wanted to, you could, clearly.
I think that's a challenge.
You guys got a drum set in the basement?
We do.
Be right back.
Okay. Well, we'll have a feature on next week's podcast of Barrett playing drums. We'll record it, right? Okay, so hey, we got some music, right? Real music. We've got an album by an indie rock veteran and his cohorts. The guy's name is Stephen Malkmus. Okay, the dog's out of the studio now.
And I'm back. I went down there and did you guys hear that?
Didn't hear it. You must have been playing quietly.
Huh. Well.
It was so fast that the human ear couldn't even pick up on it.
Right. That's like probably what it
like
was.
Like a dog whistle.
Right. Exactly.
That's why the dog came in. He could hear it.
Maybe you probably just thought there was like a airplane going by or a truck going by, real, you know, rumbling, or it was like an earthquake.
There'll be a new classification of music that Barrett can play that is on a whole different plane.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's the challenge, everybody.
A whole
make a song
frequency.
So fast that I can't play it.
That's what your kids will be listening to. Yep. Stephen Malkmus and the Jicks. And nobody knows what a jick is, right? He just made that word up, I think. Right?
Yeah, I think so.
He also made up the words of the album title, Wig Out at Jag Bags. And I was reading, somebody asked him, what is a jag bag? And he said that he thought he heard the term in Chicago.
Yeah.
And it sounded good enough, so he decided to use
it. I think
it.
I've heard that, haven't you?
I don't know.
It's like a douchebag.
It sounds like something a person
jag
might
bag.
Possibly say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. So, yeah. So here he is, an aging rocker, and I think he's doing pretty well.
Yeah. He's my age. He's 47 years old.
So you have a special, you feel a special connection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To me, that means he's young.
He's a young guy.
Yeah.
He sounds like a young guy on this album. He doesn't sound like somebody that's, you know, riding off into the sunset. And, you know, he's not, at this stage in some people's careers, they're covering the Great American Songbook, you know, but
yeah,
he's
and
still
they're,
rocking
and they,
out.
Right, right. A lot of artists get to the point where you just don't want to pay any attention to them anymore.
Right.
He's definitely better than that. So why don't we play some music? Let's give Barrett the first pick. What are we going with?
All right, hold on one sec. I'm going to pick the third song. It's called Lariat. Like oxygen.
sexy then, so terrific now. On a jape I'm returning, Bobby spinning out. I was so messed up, you were drunk and high, just a rambling wreck, coming off the brakes to see what was shaking. We grew up listening to the music from the best decade ever.
Stephen Malkmus and the Jicks, Lariat. Yeah, that's the poppiest song on the album, right?
Right, I'd say so.
And I like it a lot, too. That would have been my pick, I'll say. Chris is skeptical. Okay, if you're going to be so critical, Chris, go ahead. Let's hear your pick.
I do have a pick on this album, and it's for an interesting reason that Barrett, I think, will appreciate. I'm picking the song Chart Junk, and do you know, Barrett, why I'm picking this song?
I do not know why.
No. Because it is written about former Milwaukee Buck basketball player Brandon Jennings.
Really?
Is it really?
Yes. I have this. I'm currently looking at a CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Company, interview with Stephen Malkmus, where he goes through song by song and explains how he wrote each one. And this is what he says about Chart Junk. This tune is inspired by the NBA and specific player Brandon Jennings. He's a prima donna point guard. He went to Italy young. He didn't go to college. He just went straight to the European League, then came back, and he's a real hot dog gunner. He had a relationship with a specific coach. His name is Scott Skiles. He's a very bossy, my way or the highway type coach, and they butted horns and so on and so forth. So, yeah, it's about Brandon Jennings, and it's a pretty good song, too. So
wow.
That's what I'm picking. Chart Junk.
We're totally in sync here because that was my second pick. So, but I was going to pick it for a different reason, so let's play it, and then I'll tell you my reason.
All right.
Chart Junk. You know,
yeah,
I'm going to
have
to go back. I had to go deal with a dog, so I couldn't listen to the lyrics right there. I'm anxious to go back and listen to the lyrics now.
Yeah, so you can hear that, Baron. It's about essentially about Scott Skiles and Brandon Jennings. And Brandon Jennings just telling him to shove off.
That is pretty funny.
What was the other... wasn't there another NBA song, like, just a few months ago that we talked about? It was about some NBA team or player. No, wasn't it about like the 1987 playoffs or something? Remember that, Chris? Like the Bulls against somebody?
Yeah, that does ring a bell.
And of course there's the song Detlef Schrempf by Band of Horses. And I know that the band Margot and the Nuclear So-and-Sos, the main guy in that band, he loves NBA basketball. He's always talking about it. I think he's got a song or two about it.
Well, as we mentioned, of course, Pearl Jam's initial name was Mookie Blaylock.
Right.
After the player. But they asked him if they could use it, and he said no. So they changed it to Pearl Jam.
Yeah. I kind of think they should have kept Mookie Blaylock. Oh, well. They
could have given him... Barkley.
They probably weren't willing to give him a cut of the proceeds.
Maybe we should change the name of the podcast to an old
NBA
athlete.
Player.
Granville Waiters.
That's pretty good. That's a good name.
Change the podcast to Artist Gilmore.
There's a good one. Artist Gilmore. Nice.
We could call it Artist Gilmore.
Ooh.
Wow. I think you're onto something.
That's
there.
Pretty good, actually.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Okay, we need to come up with another pick. You guys picked both of my picks. So I'll come up with another one, unless one of you guys would like to pick the next one. Nobody's jumping out, so no. Let's go with Houston Hades.
Yeah, that would have been one of my picks, too.
Yeah, it's a good one. You know what that sounds like a little bit, but also the song Chart Junk really sounds like? It sounds like Wilco. Like, that song totally could be, like, on a Wilco album, I think. Which, it's just weird to me that, like, to make that connection. But I think in a good way, because I think Malkmus has a good range. You know, he can still sound kind of punk rocky, kind of jagged-edged, but he can also, you know, throw horns in there and sound like Wilco. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there's a portion of Chart Junk that sounds a little bit like Billy Joel's Still Rock and Roll to me.
Absolutely, I was wondering if somebody's going to bring that up.
I'm kind of glad.
It's a direct. I mean, it's not accidental.
He did it on purpose?
It has to be. Mm. There's no way that everybody working on that nobody heard that. You should try to find that because it's. I mean,
well, we should have done it when the song. Yeah. We just did the song.
Yeah.
No, I've never been a Stephen Malkmus guy or a Pavement guy. And I'm old enough. I actually bought, you know, Slanted and Enchanted when it was brand new when it came out. And they just never really grabbed me. I like Crooked Rain quite a bit. But so I wasn't really looking forward to this. But when I listened to it, I'm actually very pleasantly surprised. Good. I like it.
Yeah. I'm kind of that way, too, where the last Malkmus album and this one I like a lot. Like, and I've listened to them more than I ever listened to Pavement.
Mm-hmm.
So
I like Pavement a lot. You know, I'm not real big into Wowie Zowie. You guys know that one?
I've heard of it, kind of blows. I don't really know it.
But then I liked his first three solo albums a lot. And then the last two, I just didn't get around to listening to. So, and this one, I'm very fond of this one. So
I believe I saw him open for Radiohead.
For Radiohead at Alpine. Yes, were there.
Wow, now that sounds pretty cool.
That was cool. Yeah. When was that?
got to be like 10 years ago now.
2003, probably, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys are old timers. It's probably a long time
ago. Then I went and saw, like, when was this? Maybe 3 years ago? Pavement reunited and played at like, the Pabst in Milwaukee.
You said that was really good, right?
Yeah, it was really good.
And Malkmus is coming here, like, in a month to the High Noon.
Wow.
So I think we should go to that.
I'd like to go to that.
I'm planning on it. Let's hope it happens. All right. Well, good. Malkmus, let's go to the next item. You guys might remember the first year that we did the podcast back in 2009. My favorite album of the year was this album by a band called There Will Be Fireworks. And it's one of those intense, dark Glasgow bands. In the vein of Frightened Rabbit, The Twilight Sad, and what's the other one? We Were Promised Jetpacks. So it's almost a genre, that whole... Those bands right there, that's a genre in itself, but I like it. So this band, you know, it was my favorite album of the year in 2009. And so I just found out they had a new album that they put out in November. And of course, like, nobody's heard of it or anything. And I was reading that they don't even do many live gigs. And the main guy still lives in Glasgow, but a couple of them have moved to London and they're kind of all around. So... they're probably not, you know, planning on making it big or anything, but I think they're worthy. They need some publicity, so I'm going to give it to them. So the new album by There Will Be Fireworks is called The Dark, Dark, Bright. So I'm going to play a track called Roots.
Up on the cold bathroom floor, worldly wise, you were young, you were bored. The scar from the night before etched fresh on your chest, but that's par for the course these days. Sick for a bit, but that passed and you knew that growing up happened too fast. You can't remember last summer the way that she laughed. Well, you can't remember much at all. From your beat up old car parked at the side of the road.
There Will Be Fireworks. That's a quiet one throughout, but more often they do the slow build till it gets kind of loud. So I'll give an example of one of those. This one's called Ash Wednesday.
Psalms from the chapel doors, some trembling song stretched heavenward and carried on the cold wild wind lingering in March. Steadied hand on steady glass, a toast to absent company, bottled blood and borrowed brass, while it's
swept through the night. And they came and they traced me. And Ash Wednesday. So midnight falls still and black, as silent as that maker's hand that left you real, left you cold. When you're weary, well, they woke the floor, dropped to the floor in the kitchen. The TV was flickering, hissing the news. Some far-flung half-truths. The homes where the heart is, and homes where the heart is too. I lived in last call, dreamed the ghost on the floor to fall. In amber lane, all the city sleeps peaceful tonight.
Okay, I had to let that one play a little longer to let the slow build build. There will be fireworks. The Dark, Dark, Bright, the title of the album.
Yeah, I'm kind of worried about you now.
I'm getting too dark.
Pretty moody.
Yeah,
yeah, that is pretty moody.
It's very moody, but that's what I like. So here's one more, and this is going to be a name the band comparison thing, okay? It's not a band that I named already, so you're going to tell me who this sounds like. This is called So Stay Close. There'll be fireworks. Okay, you guys, anything come to mind there?
I don't know.
I think it sounds like Sigur Rós.
Yeah.
I think this is like this is the only band that I could ever say is and I didn't give a good example here, but they sometimes do the Irish romp rhythms a little bit. So it's a combination of Seeger Rose and Mumford and Sons. Can you ever heard anything that would... And so to me, that should be a winning combination. There Will Be Fireworks.
Yeah. I don't know. It just doesn't grab me. I don't know.
I just figured out like last week that Mumford and Sons were English.
And I was not aware of that. You mean they're not from Ireland?
Are they?
No, they're English, I think.
I thought they're from Ireland. They just seem like they'd be from Ireland.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Are they the worst? Can you guys stand that crap?
I thought the first album was actually sort of okay. You know, I could take it in like a just a folk rock kind of thing. But then they didn't wear well on me. So where were you thinking they were from, Chris?
I thought they were from the U.S. Hmm. I don't know.
No, I think I heard
Marcus Mumford talk about his role in the Inside Llewyn Davis soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, this guy's British.
Yeah. Not American.
Mm.
Yeah, I like everything about that movie except his association with it.
Hmm. That movie, incidentally, which got shut out for the Oscars.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Did it really?
Yeah, even for soundtrack stuff.
What?
Yeah.
Come on.
Oh, was that the movie that you guys saw at Union South or something?
Yeah.
Or yeah.
It was that. Yeah. Well, it was on a campus building, but
yeah.
Yeah.
No,
we
movie,
saw
it. Director, actor, any of that stuff, and then for song. Well, it's because it's usually, you know, the category is best original song, and the only original song was the Please, Mr. Kennedy song, and that didn't get it. So
yeah, that shouldn't have gotten it either. But
It got a Golden Globe nomination.
Yeah,
that song did. Mm. But yeah. Barrett and I both liked it. Go see it.
We did. I wish more people had seen it. Afterwards, you know,
well,
Chris and I
can
only talk to each other about it, right? We saw it, like they bring movies to campuses and stuff before they're widely released. So when we saw it, we're the only ones that we knew that had seen it. So you couldn't be, you know, go up to anybody and ask, you know, what they thought it meant or... we talked about it for quite a while.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I don't know. It's kind of hard to figure it out exactly.
Yep.
But, and in the end, maybe there's nothing to figure out.
You need to hash it out with people to try to figure out what it means.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But,
It's only been out for like a week or two.
Yeah.
We saw it early.
You guys are on the cutting edge.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Chris, I heard you had a bonus band today.
I do have a bonus band. This is one that I picked up from a best of list from last year. And it's called Peach Kelly Pop. And it's basically this one woman. Her name is Allie Hanlon. And she was in The White Wires, which is a Canadian band, kind of a rock pop band.
Yeah, we've played them on the podcast.
Yes, we have talked about them.
Power Poppers. Yep.
Right. And she moved to Los Angeles, apparently, and just started a side project. And, you know, it's like 60s girl band stuff. There's basically no bass at all. But let's start with a song called Dream Phone.
Thank you.
Dream Phone, Peach Kelly Pop. Yeah, they. Yep. It's weird. There's a 2012 album and a 2013 album on Spotify, and it's easy to. I don't know. I had the 2012 one, so I had to find this one. But you've clued me in. I've got this one now.
Yes, her website calls it a minimalist pre bubblegum pre chrysalis blondie Japanese cartoon pop.
It's kind of what it sounds like.
Yeah.
It sounds like some of those San Francisco garage pop type bands.
Yep, pretty lo-fi. Yeah, it's pretty gimmicky, but, you know, I kind of like it.
Got another track?
Yeah, let's go with, let's see, Society of Enoch.
That's a new thing. It's a voice solo instead of a guitar solo, right?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be talking about this album 20 years from now, but, you know, if that's if you're into the kind of the girl pop coasty type of stuff, then I think it's a good one.
Yeah, it's also fun when you hear an album like this that's really lo-fi, and then if you see them live, because it's impossible to be that lo-fi live,
right.
So it sounds cool. You know, like I remember the first time I saw Guided by Voices, and I'd heard all their lo-fi stuff, and then to hear some of those classic lo-fi songs in a rock club setting, it was just really cool because they sound so different.
Yeah, I believe they're going to be in Milwaukee in March, but not coming to Madison. So
wow, that's kind of cool. All right, well, everybody should people should check them out. We need to get some more live reports, right? I'm going to go see some noise pop with Grant tonight, so we'll report back on that.
Yeah, what is it you're going to see?
There's a band called Weekend, another band called Nothing. So these are like the Google Proof bands, right? And I've heard Weekend a fair amount, and Grant has played some Nothing for me a little bit. And actually, the headlining band is the band with a terrible name, Diarrhea Planet.
So that's a bad name.
Yeah, no, actually... Neither of us are very excited to see them, but we might stay for at least the first part of it and see if we like it. But and then there's another band from Madison. I think they're from Madison, called Fire Retarded, and Grant's pretty high on them, so we'll check it out.
All right.
So I think it's going to rock. It's part of that Frozen Fest thing that they've got going on. Tomorrow night, Superchunk is playing.
I'd almost go to that just to... Yeah, what's the drummer's name? All of a sudden, I can't think of it.
Mac McCon, right? Or he's the leading guy. He's not the drummer. Is John Worster the drummer?
Yeah, the drummer. Exactly, John Worster.
Yeah.
Just because he is one of my favorite comedian podcasters.
He's like a frequent guest on the...
On the Best Show.
Yeah.
Which is off the air now.
Oh, is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Why would it be? I thought that was like a really successful podcast.
Tom Sharpling was doing it for 13 years, you know, at a volunteer radio station. So he never made any money.
So time
to make some money.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Pulled the plug out.
So they got this Worcester guy, mm-hmm. and then of course Mac McCann, the founder of or co-founder of Merge Records. You could have a lot of fun hanging out at the merch table at that one, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, maybe it's worth going. So,
as long as we're talking about podcasts, I'll just throw in real quick at MaximumFun.org. They have a new podcast. It's called Song Exploder. Where it's a music-based podcast, and you definitely want to listen to ours first. But after you listen to ours, listen to this, because it takes kind of famous people, and they talk about their songs, and they'll take out little bits of the song and explain, like, this noise or that noise or why this was in there or that. They kind of just dissect a big song, and the first one was Jimmy Tamborello from Postal Service, and he talks about a song, The District Sleeps Tonight, and kind of goes through it line by line, about how they kind of put the song together and did all the vocals and all that kind of stuff. So it's a pretty good music-related podcast. I've only heard the one, but it seems like a pretty good idea.
No, that's pretty cool. Give us that site again.
It's MaximumFun.org. So mm-hmm.
I'm definitely in favor of Maximum Fun.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean,
not minimal fun, maximum.
That's the way to
maximum.
It's the way to go
fun.
Through life.
Yes,
maximize your fun.
What would be how? Well, maybe we shouldn't speculate on that.
They also host the Judge John Hodgman podcast, which I listen to quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So,
do you guys listen to Mark Maron's podcast?
If there's a good guest on there, I will.
I just started listening. Did you hear the one? Believe it or not, with Ed Begley Jr. was amazing.
People say,
you know, the guy from St. Elsewhere. You think, why would I listen to that?
Yeah.
Well, I've listened to two in the last couple of weeks. Patrick Stickles from Titus Andronicus, total self-absorbed bore. I would not recommend listening to that.
Huh.
But
yeah.
Ed Begley Jr. was unbelievable. Here's this guy that his dad was an actor. He grew up in Hollywood and the hills and stuff, and just an unbelievable amount of people that he's met, and you know, and just incredibly out of control on booze and drugs all through the 70s. And telling stories about that. But this one time he was like so far gone filming this movie in the mid-70s, like drinking during the day. Somebody came in and was like, dude, you got to take it easy. There's a limit. Guess who it was? Well, you're not going to guess. It was John Belushi. You have John Belushi coming and telling you, dude, come on, man.
Yeah, that's when you're in trouble.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, you think Ed Begley Jr. Anyway,
I
just listened to the one with Andy Samberg. So
yeah,
that was just a couple of weeks ago.
Well, that's one of those podcasts, if I get around to it, I'd probably like it. So at some point, I'll listen to it. You know, you only have time in your regular week to listen to so many. And obviously, as you have suggested already, Chris, the first one you need to go to is Will's Band of the Week. But after that, you know, after that, there's a limit
there's
to how
lot.
Many you can listen
there,
to.
Right.
Yeah. And then do you ever have the thing where, like, you're thinking, am I going to listen to some music now or a podcast?
Yeah, sometimes podcasts are tough because you have to be an active listener. You can't just like listen in the background. So you have to pretty much plan around it.
Yeah, well, I do listen to podcasts when I'm folding laundry and doing mundane household tasks.
Well, yeah.
But you're right. It's different. You can't
read or work or anything. And listen
right,
to
yeah, and you feel like if it's a really good one, then you feel like you can't like just leave it on, walk out of the room and come back 5 minutes later, you will have missed something.
Right.
Whereas
right.
if you put music on, it's like, well, whatever, you know, whatever track is on is fine.
It's a good thing to listen to in the car, too, you know?
Yep.
It just totally takes your mind off of the fact that you're
sitting
there driving, staring at the road.
Like the long commutes that all of us have living in the big city.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I listen to them when I run.
7-minute commute.
Sometimes I have to commute for, like, over 10 minutes. Sometimes my commute goes up to 11 minutes. So that's pretty rough. You know, I've got to have something to occupy my time. All right. Let's call it a day, you guys. So good to have you all here. It's been fun. It will continue to be fun in the future, next week and in future weeks, I predict. So time to sign off. So we'll talk to you again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
You can contact this podcast by sending an email to willsband@yahoo.com or by posting a comment on the webpage willsband.net. You can also contact us through the Will's Band of the Week Facebook page or on Twitter, @WillsBand. You can also, of course, download the podcast on iTunes, the Stitcher app, or any other podcasting app. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin.